Would you join me as I pray? Oh, Father in heaven, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name this morning. We praise you. We exalt you above all else. And we rest in you, Lord. As we turn our hearts to you in this word this morning, we pray, God of all comfort, that you would move our hearts this morning. Help us to see your beauty in your word. Help us to see that you are with us and that you will deliver us, that you will comfort us in all our afflictions. Our Father, we pray this morning as we look into your word that you would not only comfort us, but that you would move us to comfort others. Help us to see how you do that, why you do that, and thus glorify you all the more. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it is no secret that 2020 has been a rough year. And that's probably an understatement. It seems that every other day we get news of some kind of tragedy. And it's not just on a national or global scale, but personally, individually, many of us have experienced suffering to various degrees. Too many of us have lost loved ones this year. Too many of us have experienced the pain of failing health. Some have experienced loss of jobs. Some are struggling in parenting. And that's not to mention that we are in the midst of a pandemic. And the climate of that pandemic has caused many of us to feel isolated and lonely and depressed. We sense now the reality that we are not meant to be islands. We're meant to be with each other, encouraging each other. And sadly, that's tougher than it ever has been before. And even happy news that is shared this year seems to be stained a little bit, seems to be colored in light of the afflictions and trials of this year. This past week, I noticed on social media people posting life updates, kids growing older, buying houses, getting new jobs. But it seems as though every one of those posts started out with a disclaimer. Though this year has been tough, though 2020 has been a rough year, XYZ. So even our happy news, even the things that we give praise for, we feel grateful for, seems to be colored in light of everything that's happened this year. So it's no secret that 2020 has been a rough year. We have experienced many afflictions. And so my hope today is that this text from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 will speak to us in the midst of these afflictions and move us to where God wants us to be. So let's jump right in. So turn again with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look first at verse 3. Paul starts this section of his second letter to the Corinthians with blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in starting with this word, blessed, Paul is calling us to something. He is saying, praise God, hallow God, admire Him. May God be glorified, be well spoken of. May God be exalted in our hearts. And this word sets the tone for the entire passage, really the entire book. And this beginning to his letter is very common. Paul starts many of his letters this way, calling us to praise God, to exalt God in our hearts. So what he's saying is the teaching and encouragement that's going to follow is for the purpose of drawing us to worship. The blessed and glorious facts that we are about to hear, to read, should move our hearts towards God, to feeling heartfelt worship for Him. And not just feeling something, but also expressing something. True worship overflows in expression. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that second phrase, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does Paul identify God this way? What reason does he have to identify the Blessed One as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? This phrasing reminds us of John 20, verse 17. And this is after Jesus rose from the dead and Mary is with him at the tomb. Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." It's as if Jesus is saying, my dying for you and rising again enables me to call my God and Father your God and Father. The God and Father of Jesus is also our God and Father. The one who is the source of mercy and comfort to Jesus is the one who is the source of mercy and comfort to us. Also, I think that Jesus, being the Son of the Father, calling God his Father, and reminds us of the events that allows us to experience the mercy and comfort. Paul highlighting that the Father is the Father of Jesus Christ reminds us of Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So in calling our minds to the fact that God is the Father of Jesus Christ, Paul is reminding us that the Father did not even spare his own Son, but gave himself up for us. And so how will he not graciously give us all things, all mercies, all comforts? So in verse 3, Paul is calling us to heartfelt and life-changing worship, to exaltation, by reminding us that the God and Father of Jesus is our God and Father. That the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, is our Father of mercies and our God of all comfort. So then we move to verse 4, and we read kind of a relative clause there. Paul is further describing what came before, who comforts us in all our affliction. So blessings be to God Praise be to God and Father of Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our affliction. The God and Father of Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, comforts us in all our affliction. That term all is all-inclusive. It means everything. No matter what you're going through, no matter what I go through, there is comfort from your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father. And then we move on to the second half of this verse, verse 4, and we see that phrase, so that. And that should give us an indication of something. It should give us an indication that Paul's going to describe a purpose. Why is God comforting us? Why is he a comfort to us in all our affliction? That's the answer he's going to give us. He says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the reason God comforts us, says Paul, is to turn the comforted into comforters. And this is significant. This is very significant. But I want to pause briefly here and think about the comfort that God gives us. I want to pause and kind of answer the question, how does God comfort us? What is the comfort of God? So verse 4 says, who comforts us in our affliction. What is that comfort that God gives us? I think that the answer to this is twofold. I think God comforts us in two ways, two main ways. First is by his presence. In the midst of suffering and affliction, we're not always told why we're suffering. And we're never promised that it will end in this life. What we are told and what we are promised is that God will always be with us in the midst of our afflictions and our sufferings. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the great words at the end of the Great Commission, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He is with us always. And we read in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Because God is with us. God is with us always. We are promised that he will be with us. So that is the first way in which God comforts us, by his presence. The second is by his promises. The promises of God are a great means of comfort, because when God promises something, it's as good as done. We have a God who is sovereign over all things, whose providential arm cannot be thwarted. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10 says, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. So when God promises something, he will accomplish that purpose. And we could spend hours, days, and weeks talking about the promises of God, but here are a few of my favorites. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or this promise in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Or this great promise from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7, the end that we are moving toward. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So the promises and the presence of God are how he comforts us in the midst of our sufferings and afflictions. He is with us no matter what we go through. And he promises that greater things are yet to come. So back to looking at 2 Corinthians 1, God comforts us so that we will in turn comfort others. Right? That's verse 4. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. If we have been truly transformed by the mercy and comfort of God, we have to share it with others. The one who has been shown mercy and comfort will ultimately overflow with mercy and comfort to others. Jesus himself said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that combined with what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 1, I think we could say that our joy and our satisfaction in the comfort and mercy of God is completed. If you want a more full and satisfying comfort in God, give away what you have received from him. Our joy and satisfaction in God is completed when we are giving away what we receive. We receive comfort from God. by feeling His presence, knowing that He is with us, hearing His promises, resting in them for future glory, future grace, and then we give that to others. We share that. Our cup overflows because of what we have received for God. That's the purpose. That's why God comforts us, says Paul. We are comforted so that we may share that with others. So then we come to verse 5. And we see that word for. And I think he's about to explain something to us. That for is an indication that what's coming after is an explanation. So that in verse 4 is a purpose. Why? Verse 5, for, he's saying how. How can comfort the comforted become comforters? So God comforts us so that we will comfort others. How does he do that? How is that possible? And he does so by setting up a comparison. He says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. He sets up this comparison using as and so. So let's take those two parts of the comparison one by one. We share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. As we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. What I think Paul is doing here is rephrasing a phrase from before. All our afflictions. So our afflictions that we experience, the sufferings that we go through, as God comforts us in our afflictions are a sharing with Christ in his suffering. Jesus was no stranger to the suffering of mankind. He's no stranger to what we go through every day in our afflictions. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In every respect, Christ was tempted as we are. And what greater source of temptation is suffering and affliction? When we experience suffering and affliction, brothers and sisters, we're tempted to give in, to forsake God and say, God, you're not working for me. I'm going somewhere else. I'm doing something else. In the parable of the sowers, Jesus says that some who receive the word of God will be that way. The hardships of life will come upon them, and the word will be choked out, will dry up and shrivel. But Jesus knows what we go through. He is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. As we go through the sufferings and afflictions of life, Jesus knows. He knows what we go through. He was acquainted with grief. And so as we share in that, share with Christ in those sufferings, Paul describes that as abundant sharing. As we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so as the sufferings that we go through pile up day after day. It seems like one thing after another keeps hitting us. And I know some of you, especially this year, have felt that way. It just seems like one thing after another, after another, after another. And you may be crying out to God, I can't take anymore. I'm abundantly suffering, God. But he says, as we share in Christ's sufferings abundantly, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So as the sufferings and afflictions pile on, as they keep piling up, Christ identifies with us in our affliction. And through his redemptive work, the Father delivers to us more and more comfort. As we experience more and more suffering, through Christ, the Father gives us more and more comfort. And we need to pause again and focus on this phrase, through Christ. Through Christ we share abundantly in comfort. That phrase, through Christ, is key. The mercy and comfort we receive from the Father has been purchased and comes to us through Christ, through what Christ accomplished on the cross. The reason that the Father can show us mercy and comfort is because while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. The Father did not spare his own Son, but gave himself up for us. And Christ, as he hung on the cross, took our shame, our sin, our affliction, our iniquity upon himself. And he gave us his righteousness. So now as the Father looks upon us, he doesn't see the shame of our sin, the stain of our iniquity. He sees the pure, righteous white robes of Christ and pours out his mercy and comfort on us because of what Christ accomplished for us. It is only through him can we experience the comfort of the Father. So, how can the comforted become comforters? Well, think again about what happens to a cup that has been filled to the brim and you keep pouring in more. It overflows. As we experience more and more affliction and suffering, we experience more and more comfort through the cross, through Christ. And our cup fills and overflows to those around us. So the title of this sermon is The Source and Comfort in These Days of Affliction. So what is the source of comfort then? Obviously, the ultimate source is the Father, right? That's clear and plain in his word. The Father, through Christ, gives us all comfort in any affliction. But I think the point Paul is trying to make specifically here is that we also are a source of comfort for each other. I know that we only looked at verses 3 through 5 today, but if you look further on, you'll notice that Paul switches from using just we language, kind of in a general sense, to we and you language. He moves from general to specific. So we, Paul and Timothy, experienced affliction, hardship, trial and tribulation in our life and ministry so that the Father could show us an abundance of comfort and mercy, and then we could in turn comfort you, Corinthian church, when you experience suffering and affliction. And I think that principle is for us today. Brothers and sisters, as we experience hardship and trial, tribulation in our life and ministry, the Father pours out comfort upon you so that you can, in turn, comfort others, your brothers and sisters in Christ. That principle is for us. So if you are grieving the loss of life or health, and you have experienced the comfort and mercy of the Father in that season, share that with others. Comfort those who also are experiencing that affliction. If you're struggling with work or parenting, share that comfort that you have received from the Father to others who are struggling with work or parenting. If you are feeling lonely, isolated, or depressed in this season, and you have been shown comfort and mercy from the Father, share that with others. And it's tough, especially in this season where we can't be together like we want to be together. And so it's going to require us to be intentional. If you feel God speaking to you, if you feel the comfort and mercy of God in the midst of your affliction, be intentional about sharing that with others, because that is what God has prescribed for us to do in His Word. If you have been comforted, share that comfort with others. Be intentional. And also, there's another side to that coin as well. Be receptive to hearing comfort from others. If you are experiencing affliction in your life right now, be open to hearing comfort from your brothers and sisters, because God has comforted them, and their joy and completeness and that comfort comes in them sharing that with you. It's a cascading effect. As the Father pours comfort and mercy on us, we share it with others, who in turn share it with others, and share it with others. That's what God has designed His church to be like. That's how His body works. We're building each other up, comforting each other, bearing one another's burdens. And so in this season, as we close out this year, as we turn our minds to celebrating the advent of Christ, there's going to be a lot of suffering and affliction in the hearts and minds of our brothers and sisters. So be intentional. The comfort that you have received from the Lord, share with others. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. We hear the call on our life to be comforters of others, and to have our joy and satisfaction in you completed by sharing what you have given us with others. Help us, Lord, as we go forward this day, this week, this season, and for the months and years to come, to be people who are intentional about encouraging and comforting our brothers and sisters with that mercy and comfort that you have given us. As we feel your presence, as we know that you walk with us in the midst of our affliction and know what we go through, and we rest in your promises that there is future grace and glory beyond all comparison, we pray, God, that we would be able to overflow to others, that the cup of our hearts would be so full that we would have no choice but to love and comfort our brothers and sisters who are struggling, who are in affliction right now. Help us, Lord, through Christ alone. Amen.